All right. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Tea Circle. You've just tuned in on another episode of the Tea Party where we have a special guest interview. And today we have Miss Megan Colwell. Megan, how are you doing today? I'm super excited to have you on. How are we feeling? Are you ready for today?
I'm feeling pumped. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. I have been following you on Instagram for a hot minute, so it was really nice to finally connect and just talk about art.
It's going to be so much fun. Thank you for connecting with me on Instagram, too. It means a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Well, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Sure. Well, I'm Megan. I am a mixed media wood-burning artist. I specialize in custom pet portraits, but I generally speaking, just like creating art that's bright and fun and meaningful to the end user.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen a lot of your work. It pops right off the piece of wood, or it's very colorful and it just brightens up the day, I think. I'm trying to get better about using more color. I try to be kind of a realistic painter, even though I'm not very good at it. So I'm just like, I try to put my own twist on it and add a little color to it. But I do a lot of shadows, like of trees and stuff like that. I don't know if you've seen some of my work, but I focus more on the sky. And then I'm like, okay, here's a little tree here in the corner, a little Bob Ross here.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, though. It's all about just finding, like, what works for you, you know? When I first started doing, especially custom pet portraits, I was so stressed about realism and making it look hyper-realistic. And I just had to relax and really just lean into my style, my skill set, and just hone that without judgment.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's kind of the stage I'm in right now, is just finding what works best for me.
Yeah. But,
okay. Well, I can't wait to kind of jump into this and talk more about it. You all know what to do. Grab yourself a cup of goodness, whatever that may be. I think it's tea for me and coffee for Megan. Then let's get started. To let everybody know who we're talking with today.
That's when I truly realized how much I enjoyed helping other people.
There's so much to see and so much to experience that, like, for me, it's hard to be in one place for a long period of time.
Starting off philosophical stuff.
Getting real deep here.
Yeah.
It was more of a growth period for me where I finally, like, found myself a little bit.
Whether it's related to your interests or not, you know, you're going to figure out more and more about what you want.
Yeah.
As long as you just keep trying.
Everybody needs those moments of rest. So that's who I am. I'm a hunter for the science behind relaxation.
So grab yourself a cup of goodness and join us here in the Tea Circle so we can get started.
Okay, so now that we're all settled in, all cozied up and ready to go, Megan, I just wanted to start from the beginning. I know that you're from Kansas or Kansas City. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, have you lived there your whole life? Have you done some traveling? And kind of how did you, you know, end up a pet portrait artist?
Ooh, big question. Well, first question answer. I am from Kansas, born in Kansas City, Kansas. And I've lived here my whole life, mostly. It wasn't until in 2018, my husband was laid off. And I had just started a new job that was a fully remote job. We were in this position of, do we get another home rental or do we get a camper and travel and just do the damn thing? And we just stared at each other and we were like, nothing's stopping us, man. We don't have kids. We don't have anything holding us back. So in 2018, we sold 95% of our belongings over the course of 3 garage sales, like 3 weeks. And we bought the camper and it seems crazy when I say it out loud, but we just did it. We moved into the camper in 2018. Our first stop was Texas. We set up all of our, you know, quote unquote residency in Texas. And then we hit the road. We went back to KC, said goodbye to family, went to Colorado, Utah, Nevada, Oregon. We ended up work camping in Northern California for 6 months. So we lived in the coastal redwood forest of Northern California for six months. And work camping really is what sustained us on the road. Work camping is where you work for a campsite in exchange for free rent. And there's so many odd jobs sometimes we were cleaning bathrooms, but sometimes we were like a camp host and taking people to their campsite. And we did several work camp contracts over the course of 2.5 years. And some were paid, some were free rent and paid. It was a pretty sweet gig. We were able to visit some amazing places, sustain ourselves on the road. I was virtually working at that time still. I created my own business as a virtual assistant, doing like social media management, marketing, graphic design. But on the side, I was doing art the whole time. I was wood burning the whole time. I was doing shows everywhere we went, networking, maintaining my own social media with wood burning. And so I did that hustle all the way up until COVID. Of course, COVID changed everything. I like to call this a pandemic positive, but I came home and that was the best thing for me. Like the fact that there were no shows and no events was actually a relief for me because craft shows and art shows, all of that really stressed me out. And it took so much creative energy out of it. So pandemic positive spin. When we came back home, that all went away and I just focused on my craft. And so, in all, we stayed in the camper for almost 5 years. Unfortunately, the camper had some repairs, some major repairs that it needed. Campers are not cheap to live in. So as of right now, February 2023, we're back in a home rental until we can figure things out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's super exciting. 5 years, I didn't realize you were camping that for that long. So that's pretty cool. And as far as the camping, I'm sorry, what'd you call where you work at the camp?
They're called work camp contracts. Huh. Work camp being one word. And that's how a lot of full-timers sustain themselves on the road. And it's how you can live places that are amazing for free if you're willing to clean a toilet or, you know, just, you know, yard work or mow or something. Like, I thought it was completely worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't even know that was a thing. So I'll put that on my list because as we kind of mentioned off stream, want to do that as well. I want to kind of get a camper and go traveling for a little bit. So that will be something to keep in mind on the list as well, because I've been looking for a remote work just as far as being able to sustain my financial billings and everything on the road, you know, and not be stressed about money. But I guess the pandemic, I mean, it changed a lot of things for a lot of people in good ways and bad ways. You know, I think it, I mean, goes for anything, but it's kind of exciting to hear that it actually benefited you in a way that you could be positive about it. Cause
I try.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the positives too is like when before the pandemic, people were like so adverse against virtual work, remote work. It was really hard to get a remote job. Like if someone got a remote job, you were like, oh, you're so lucky. You get to wear leggings all day, whatever. But now the pandemic has shined light on how effective it can be to work virtually and how productive and it, your, you know, your cost of your overhead goes down. So if you are looking for remote jobs, we did work through Upwork.com and these are not sponsors, FlexJobs.com. I did a ton of work on Fiverr as a graphic designer, social media manager. So now more than ever, working full time remotely in a camper and traveling, you can do it. And you can have a creative career doing it easier than ever.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a lot easier nowadays. Like when I was younger, it wasn't a thing to work remotely or shoot, even being an artist. It was like known as like a hobby or like you only certain people get the advantage of being shown in a gallery and stuff like that. Now that the internet is a thing and videos and YouTube and so many other platforms, Twitch and everything else, I mean, there are so many ways to get yourself or your name or your work out there. It's incredible. Like it's, it's actually expanded for a lot of opportunities for people, which is great. It's, I think, a matter of letting people know that there are options out there because we're kind of set in this mold from before. And it's like, oh, wait, now things are changing, especially after the pandemic. And like you said, now that things are like a remote job is not now unheard of. It's actually common or useful. And I tell you what, when I work at home, I get so much more done. There's less distractions. There's less things happening around me. When I'm in the office, there's people asking me questions. There's, you know, so much going on and I don't get as much done, honestly. So yeah. I can see how beneficial a remote job can be, you know, being in your own zone and not having to worry about 60 million other things around you.
Totally. I think it's really cool to bust out of the stereotype of a starving artist. You longer have to be a starving artist. Like, you can make money and make good money doing what you love.
Yeah, which is super exciting because now I'm starting to realize that. I'm like, I'm going to start doing art, not just because, like, you know, I want to, but also to make a living, or not just to make a living, but because I want to, you know, and there was a good stage there. I think this was in 2017 to 2018. I was doing some like streaming on Twitch. Like, I would stream games and art and stuff like that. I didn't do too bad for myself, but honestly, I just didn't take it seriously. I was just doing it more for fun. And I mean, not to say that you shouldn't do it for fun. Like, because then it gets too serious, but I just wasn't thinking in the business sense of it. And now I'm kind of wishing I did, because I'm like, oh man, I would have probably, you know, already, well, neither here nor there. I don't want to like show any regrets or anything. You know, I did my time and I obviously played my chips or whatever. And, you know, everybody is on their own timeline and figure out things as they go. But it's just like, there is one little part of me that I'm like, I'm wondering what would have happened if I started sooner.
Right. Well, you totally, I've put a lot of strategy and time into marketing myself on social media and leveraging that. And in my head, I'm like, why not? Social media is free. If all it takes is my time, that's it. And so I really put a lot of time into that and strategizing it and not trying, like, sometimes I post goofy stuff about like drinking whiskey or, you know, my cute dogs. But for me, that's on brand. People know I drink whiskey. People know I have two senior dogs and that I do senior dog pet portraits. That makes sense for my brand.
Yeah.
So right. I strategize in a way that leverages the things I'm good at.
Yeah. And the things that are on your day to day too. Cause I mean, you have dogs. So yeah, of course you're going to show your dogs along with your being pet portrait artists. Yeah. Like, those totally link together. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm all for working smarter, not harder. Like, artists really get overwhelmed with the concept of building a personal brand, but it just goes to, if it goes in line with being parallel to your strengths and working with how your life is already going and adding that into your current lifestyle, not on top of your current lifestyle.
Should have probably spoke to you like 5 years ago, but yeah, I totally agree. I'm guilty. I'm raising my hand. I'm guilty.
The struggle is real though. I'm constantly learning. Social media is constantly changing, but if you're willing to dedicate yourself to your passion, sky's the limit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I was, you know, streaming some artwork, I did a little bit for fun, but some of it also had to do with like the mindset of what would other people like versus what I like. And that destroyed me. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously that didn't work because I was just like, oh, will this, you know, be profitable? Will this sell? Will this, you know, be a masterpiece for people? And I'm like, oh, you know, at the end of the day, it's, doesn't matter. It should be for me. And then if people like it, great.
Man, that's Pandora's box for every artist trying to make it out there. So I feel like when I started in 2012 wood burning just as a hobby. And I was too poor to buy gifts for my friends. So I just was like, well, I'm going to wood burn.
Yeah, I did that too. I did some little mini, wood burn pieces for my family. And, I did some signs for my other side of the family too for Christmas 1 year, just cause I couldn't afford it and they were really loving it. And it just is that, it's just as simple as just creating gifts for people. And then it just somehow, you know, flourishes into more.
Yeah. That was more than a decade ago for me. And now I'm making custom pet portraits and I'm booked out 3 months. It's just a completely different game than it was in 2012 when I started.
Yeah, that's super exciting. So how did you decide pet portraits? Like, could have done anything. You know, how did it kind of fall into that?
Yeah, the whole thing just funneled into a niche. And I think the journey there started when I started selling my art in 27. No, excuse me. I first started selling art in 2018. Yeah, when my husband was laid off and then we moved into the camper. The whole reason I started selling it is because we had bills to pay. And so up from like 2012 to 2018, I was just doing it as a hobby. And my friend was like, you're doing the world a disservice by not putting your art out into it. You're being selfish. And I was like, oh, how dare you say I am selfish. I am not a selfish person. And, but anyway, that really cut me to the core and really took down a wall for me to start putting my art out there into the world. And when I started, I was just making anything and everything. I was looking at Pinterest and I'm like, oh, that's popular. I'm going to make that. I had no idea what I was doing. And I think the beginning part took a lot of balls just to put your art out there and open yourself up to a world of trolls and judgment. Oh. So I tried all of the things in the beginning. And I had bills to pay. I was doing art shows. I was doing craft shows. I was focusing on what was selling, what wasn't selling, what posts on social media were performing well. How could I serve my audience? How can I serve my customers? And so the whole entire journey just funneled down to how can I serve my customers and how can I serve my creative joy? And it was just constantly refining what I was making to make those two worlds meet. And I ended up at Pet Portraits because I think 6-year-old Megan, who used to draw dogs in her little notebook, would be quite proud of the person she is today and making art professionally and getting paid for it. Like little 6-year-old Megan would be like, oh my God, that's freaking amazing. And I guess I do all of it just to make her happy.
Yeah, I actually really like the way that you put that because I don't think about a lot of like what my younger self would think, you know, and just thinking like, would she be happy with what I'm doing right now?
You know? A lot of it comes down to mindfulness as you're creating art. If you're creating art for a business, I mean, be mindful of what you're making. How are you feeling? If you're feeling annoyed and frustrated and crummy about it, pivot. And yeah. No one, you can pivot. You have that freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. So social media management as far as your own. Now, I have never been really good at social media because I've never been a fan of being online. I try to disconnect as much as possible, but I know that it's important because it's the way to get your name out nowadays. It's how to share your stuff. It's kind of today's day's reality as far as, you know, getting your art out there and your message or whatever. So how did you find or make time to dedicate for specifically social media and not get stressed out? Because for me, it's just overwhelming. I mean, I think the other day you sent a meme or a joke out as far as like, you've spent all this time making a video and get one like, and you're like, oh my God, it hurts the heart. Cause it's you dedicated all this time.
Yes. Yes. Oh, the struggle is real. Well, that's a really great question. I think one of the benefits I have is I work for a social media marketing agency. Mm. I work for a company called Fun Love Media. I'm director of design. And we work with franchise clients all the way down to entrepreneurs, small businesses, personal brands. And I've learned a lot in that journey. I used to do that specific type of work independently with my own company. And I ended up teaming up with Fun Love Media because I absolutely love the owner. Her name's Brittany Crossan. If you don't know her, look her up. She's fabulous. But that's a benefit. For me, learning about building a personal brand, it just took time. Part of Fun Love Media is she has a membership called Small Biz Social Society, which helps people build personal brands specifically for mission-driven entrepreneurs. So I was on the ground level of that, and all of her masterclasses, I've been a part of setting those up and getting exposure for them. So I literally have like the best mentor when it comes to social media marketing. So I've learned a lot about building a personal brand, how to do it, the specific technical ins and outs of it. But thanks to her, I've learned so much about brand pillars and how to batch your social media content. And for me, as an artist, it comes down to working social media into my existing lifestyle. So Monday through Friday, I work my 9-to-5. And then Friday afternoon through Sunday night, I am working on my wood burning business. And that might sound crazy to some people. I've been doing that consistently, pretty much working 7 days a week since 2018. But the work that I do for my wood burning business, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like my passion. I feel driven. I feel creatively charged. So when I'm making a custom pet portrait, it's now part of my existing workflow to take pictures and take videos. You can just set your camera up on a ring light and record yourself, and then later go into a free app called InShot and slow it down, speed it up, take clips out. And as I've grown on social media, I've found my own groove. You have to find your groove. For me, I do post 5 to 6 days a week. I'm on stories every single day. And for a lot of artists, especially artists just starting out, that is like so much.
It is.
How the hell are you doing that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing that multiple ways. I already know what my brand pillars are. I know what I'm going to be shooting. So I'm not constantly thinking, oh, what am I going to post? I know what I'm going to post because I've established what 3 to 5 topics I talk about in my brand. So I'm just rotating that out. I'm shooting video of my art and I'm clipping that out in different posts. I'm repurposing it as a reel. I'm repurposing it as a carousel post that you can swipe through of the final pictures. So one piece of art, I'm getting 5 to 7 stories out of it and 3 to 4 posts out of it just from one piece of art that I've done in one weekend. And I'm supplementing my content with other things that support my brand pillars. So for me, I like to make memes. I got to channel these frustrations.
Yeah.
Because like the art, the reel I posted up today of the making of my recent pet portrait, it got 100 views. Mm-hmm. And that video took me an hour to make.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's so frustrating, but I'm supplementing it with my memes that get, you know, 75 shares and 41 saves, which is ultimately just compiling itself in the algorithm and getting me more and more exposure. So like some people will be like, well, I'm not going to do memes. That doesn't make sense. I'm not you don't have to do memes. Right, you could do other things. TikTok dances for all I care. But but as long as it ties back into your brand, you're golden and it all will work together in a consistent strategy to get you business.
Yeah. That's a lot. Well, it is, but it's also very useful and very helpful for probably a lot of these listeners. So thank you for sharing that. And also for myself, I mean, shoot, even when it comes to the podcast, every now and then I'm like,
I get it. Unloved Media, we're a podcast network. So we manage like 5 different podcasts under the Fun Love Media network. So I understand the struggles with podcasting and also because I do all the social media posts for our clients for those podcasts, and it's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Well, and as far as clipping out specific moments in time in the podcast as well, especially for, well, let's say in this case, an interview. I mean, our interviews are about an hour to an hour and a half long, depending on how long we talk for. And then you have like our other episodes, which are not nearly as long. They're like maybe 30 minutes tops. So it's a matter of like organizing, I guess, as far as like what's going to be posted when and, you know,
it's a lot.
Video versus post. And
but I am. Get into a routine. That's really what it comes down to is, and that's like anything, right? Like, if, I mean, I hate talking New Year's resolutions, but it's just a habit.
Yeah.
It's making a habit of it, but you can't make a habit out of something you don't want to do. But if you want to do it, you'll do it.
Yeah. It's so funny you say that because I actually have an episode on creating good habits. So there you go.
Well, you should put that in show notes. People, check out that episode.
Yeah. There you go. So I did have a question though, as far as you said you have a certain amount of content for just one piece of artwork and you kind of spread it out along with your other content. How do you feel as far as, you know, you've already posted this piece of art? Do you ever have the moment of, should I post something else, another piece of my art just to mix it up? Or like, because I guess for me, let's take, for example, my episode of habits or creating good habits. I've already posted a video of the good habits or a reel or whatever and shared it in my story. And then I'm like, okay, how long do I take before I wrap back around to that? Because I feel like if I'm posting too much of the same either art piece or episode, then it's like, okay, am I just going in circles now? You know what I mean? Like, I've noticed that some artists, like I've noticed a gouache painter I've actually followed recently, she posts a video of it and then she I think the day or 2 days later she posts the actual image of it just as a post, but they're right next to each other and it looks great and everything like that. I guess just for me mentally, I'm just nervous of posting the same thing over and over and over again. You know what I mean? Without trying to mix it up. I guess that's where you throw in your other content, but I don't know. I guess I'm just a little confused. Hey,
let me squash that anxiety, because listen, marketing, which is, that's exactly what you're doing when you're posting on social media, is you are marketing your art, is all about repetition. Mm. How many times have you seen the same commercial on TV? You don't bitch about that. You're not like, oh my God. Artists need to just get over the hump that your audience seriously needs to hear about something like 7 times before it clicks.
That's true.
And having that stuff side by side, having your making of video, your cover image for that is probably your hand wood burning or your hand painting. And then the next post with the final pictures, it looks aesthetically different on the feed. Also, keep in mind, every time you post anything on social media, you are lucky if 10% of your following sees it. That's the way the algorithm works, baby. So you gotta be posting more often than not, because certain types of content reach certain sectors of your following. For example, Instagram Reels content is shown to people outside of your current following. That's why the reach on Instagram Reels is so, so powerful, because it's shown to your following, but it's also shown to people outside of your following that the algorithm thinks might want to see it. So that's why you saw this huge boost of Instagram Reels. But alternatively to that, if you post an Instagram carousel, those are the swipe through posts. Those are shown to your current following twice. The current following sees the first slide, and if they didn't catch it on the first post, the next time they log into their Instagram, it will show that post to them again, but it will show them the second slide. So, content frequently on social media. So please know, you can repurpose your content in all sorts of ways. I tell my clients all the time, and I do this for myself, if I had a post 6 months ago, a year ago, that got tons of views, tons of likes, I'm going to repost that as a carousel. I'm going to repurpose that as an Instagram Reel or a TikTok, because why not? It performed well before. It's going to perform well again. I have more followers now. I have new people now in my audience that can see it. So seriously.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's very helpful to break it down like that, because most people don't know that information and how Instagram kind of, and the algorithm, I just that one word like gives me anxiety. I'm like, there's just so much that goes along with social media and their algorithms on the way that it processes information to certain people. It's insane. And like the fact that you have TikTok, which is completely different than Instagram because they only do videos, and it's crazy. but you're right.
To tackle the overwhelmed, like just focus on one platform for now. Yeah. What platform do you feel comfortable with? You know,
Straight up.
Don't worry about the other shit right now. Like just this year, just focus on one platform and give it your all. That's that. And if it works, great. Keep going. If it doesn't work, pivot. Try another platform after that. But give it a real chance. Don't try to be on all the platforms all at once. Yes, do I think you need to have presence on everything? Of course. But start small. Don't overwhelm yourself.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I've heard that too, but then I've also heard, you know, just the two platforms, you know, like TikTok and Instagram, because if you create a reel, you can put that reel on TikTok, you know, kind of thing. But it's also just like, I think it comes back to what you said, what makes you feel comfortable on your day to day, because in reality, you have to make it as a habit, and you're just constantly doing it, and you're getting to the point where you're doing it without thinking about it versus forcing yourself to do it. So it's really just getting to that comfort level and consistency of just doing it, whether you're thinking about it or not.
It's tough. It took me a long time to even put my face on camera. Now I'm much more comfortable about it, but I felt like that was a very powerful shift in my content. I started out on stories, just talking to stories, but that's really hard for a lot of artists, because a lot of us are quite introverted and shy.
Yes. Yeah, me and Mark are both that way. I'll every now and again get the courage to kind of show my face, and then I'm like, that felt so weird. I don't know what to do.
What did you do? You were like, I'm going to ask you some questions about yourself and your journey, and I'm like, oh, shit, oh, no.
Yeah. You're like, we're talking about me? Little old me? Right. Yeah, right. It's so funny, because I always tell people I'm kind of in the middle. I have my extrovert socialist, like social bubble kind of attitude and stuff like that. But I also have very much my introvert side of me, the artistic side of me, the side of me that just wants to sit in a room by myself painting. And then there's part of me that's like, oh yeah, I can, you know, talk to people, and you know, if I need to, I can handle my own and stuff like that. But it's too funny, because I think that a lot of people think that, like, as far as being a podcaster, or I used to be a kickboxing instructor, that you just are automatically a social butterfly. And I'm like, I can be, but then there's also times where you have that social battery, and when it comes down, you're ready to go home and just do your own thing and just spend time to yourself.
Totally. I consider myself a social butterfly, but at best, probably that caterpillar on a bug's life that gets the tiny wings. That's like, at best, butterfly I'm getting. Those are the vibes I put out in the world.
Oh my God, that is amazing. I totally feel you. But if you think about it, that caterpillar is actually pretty sociable. Like, he's actually a sweetheart. Like, he's, yeah.
I told you. My
I'm gonna have to think about who my spirit animal is. That's a good
well,
one.
On the next podcast, we'll do that.
Yeah, that's a good one to think about for sure. That's awesome. I love The Bug's Life. That is such a cute show, sure. Or movie. Movie. I love the rock joke. It's a rock. It's like, no. Pretend it's a seed.
Yeah,
but it's a rock. Oh, it's so good. So good. Yeah. I have always been a movie nut, especially when it comes to the Disney and DreamWorks. And I grew up with all those movies versus like television. My mom wasn't much into TV shows and TV and stuff like that. So our thing was movies and doing like movie marathons and stuff like that. And so I love those kids' movies. They're so much fun.
Fabulous.
And they have a lot of good messages, I think, especially as you get older, you notice things that you wouldn't have noticed as a kid, obviously, but it's just almost funnier or more enjoying when you're older and you understand some of the the jokes that come along with it.
But back to showing your face on camera, you know, you think that you automatically have to be sociable. It's just something to develop. And you don't have to show your face on camera. I think it's very, very powerful if you're building a personal brand as an artist to show your face. But if you're not comfortable with that, don't do it at first. A lot of people preach, oh, you got to get out of your comfort zone. Yeah, sure. But you know when your gut's telling you that you can try. If your gut's like, no way, don't do it, man, because it's going to come across on camera.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and I feel like it's a step process, you know, like you're, as an artist in general, it's a little nerve wracking to show your art in general out to the world, because you just never know. So get used to that, or comfortable as just far as just throwing it out there, whether people like it or not. And then it's the next step of showing your face in front of camera. You know, I think it's just do things step by step, do a little bit by a little bit versus just throwing it all in and doing it all at once.
I mean, if that's like how you operate, if you're an all or nothing type of person, I say go for it. However, most people need to do it step by step, and that can build a stronger foundation for them. And that's what works for me. I started posting on social media with my art and selling my art 2018. And I mean, how long has that been? 18, 19, like five, however, you know, I'm not good at math.
Years. I'm an artist. It's 5 years.
Five years, and I'm just now hitting 12,000 followers on Instagram, you know, and I'm seeing people on TikTok and on Instagram who have, you know, five times more followers than me. And it's easy to get really bummed out about your journey, us. You do the whole compare and despair thing, and you're like, why am I even trying? Well, you're trying because you deserve to live a life you love.
Absolutely. I second that. I definitely preach. Do. Yeah. Preach into the choir. No, I totally agree though. And then as you get older, you just start going into this phase of like, what really makes me happy? And I think that's worth it more than being miserable. Like, we only have one life. So why spend it doing something you think you have to do instead of doing what you really want to do that comes from the heart versus like what everybody else says you should do?
I guess big picture wise, I would love to be a full-time artist. I would love to only woodburn every day and only create social media content to support my woodburning. And, you know, that's the dream, but it's not the reality.
Yeah.
I still have to work a 9-to-5. My hubby, unfortunately, got laid off recently again, unfortunately, just a few weeks ago. And because of what I learned from his first layoff in 2018, now this round, and because of the hustle I've invested into my wood burning, quote unquote, side business, he doesn't have to go back to work now.
Almost.
Now he's building his own business because I've learned from that first challenge and I've invested in my passion and it's going well. It's been a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I still would like to be a full-time artist, but I'm really happy right now. My 9-to-5 is still one of my dream jobs. Being director of design for a social media marketing agency, all day, I still get to do creative work. I'm doing design work. I'm writing memes for franchises, which is crazy. I'm paid to make memes. It's true. And it's really, you can create the life you love to live, man.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the exciting part too, is hearing that you enjoy your 9-to-5, because most people don't enjoy their 9-to-5. And so they feel stuck and they are wanting more of their dream than this reality that they're having to do for this 9-to-5 job just to pay the bills. And I'm like, it's not just about that. I want to be able to do more than just that. And so it's exciting to know that you have a 9-to-5 job that you enjoy, because the whole idea is that it's not about leaving the 9-to-5 if you don't want to. If you enjoy that job, then do it. You know, absolutely. I'm not saying, you know, you have to do one thing or the other. I think it's more of the message is being like, okay, is this the 9-to-5 job that you want? If it's not, then we have to rotate or situate or alternate as you far know, as I, just figure out what works better for you.
I hear ya. I feel like a lot of times people work a 9-to-5 that completely drains them. They would like to have a side hustle and they would like to sell their art and make money and do what they love, but their 9-to-5 just completely drains them. Maybe they're a single mom and they have to take care of their kids after that. And they would love to make an extra 3-4 streams of income, but it's just not in the cards for them right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier, is your journey is your journey and it takes however many steps it's going to take.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's okay, man.
Yeah. I think for me, I'd be kind of the same way as you, is that I wouldn't mind a 9-to-5 job if I found something I truly enjoy doing for 40 hours a week. You know what I mean? That's outside of my day-to-day passions, like art.
I did not get my 9-to-5 job. That was very, very hard work. In 2018, when I worked remotely, originally we moved into the camper, I ended up losing that remote job 4 months into being on the road. And I had no idea what I was going to do for work. I didn't know if we were going to come back to Kansas City and I was going to have to get an office job again as like a receptionist. I didn't know. But I sat down and I said, what are my skill sets? Okay, I went to school for graphic design. Did I graduate? Nope. I surely did not graduate. But I knew about graphic design. I knew I was good at it. I knew I was a good writer. And I knew social media, I could do that work from anywhere. So I just went to YouTube University and taught myself how to be a virtual assistant that specialized in graphic design and social media marketing. And I just leaned into it, dude. I just leaned into it because I knew it had low overhead. All I needed was my cell phone and my laptop and I can make money. And I'm very, very proud to say that since that first pivot into working for myself in that industry, I never went a week without a paycheck. Some paychecks were really effing skimpy, but I still got paid. And through those efforts, I hustled, man. I was in Facebook groups for women helping women entrepreneurs, and that's how I met my now boss. And that's what led her to offering me a job at her company, doing what I was doing independently, but coming to do it for her company, Fun Love Media. So, like, it just takes a lot of guts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that you just kind of made that jump, because yes, a lot of the people I have on here as interviews make a jump. And it's not that they planned it at all. It was sort of like they were kind of stuck within a wall and a hard place, you know, like as far, I don't know if I said that saying right, but I always screw
it's
up.
A rock. This little thing. It's a rock.
Rock on the hard place. Yeah. Rock, not a wall, a rock. Do you watch SpongeBob at all?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm like, it's not just a rock, or it's not just a boulder, it's a rock. And he starts crying.
No, but I think that a lot of these risks that people take that people see as the outside is like, now they're a successful person. It starts with risk, and the risk starts from necessity. And us moving into the camper was a necessity. It was like we took a risk, but it was a calculated risk, but it was still a risk. And it continued to be a journey of compounding risks, because in 2019, I was barely pulling in $200 a week with my business. And I was maybe making $50 a month from selling art. Like, you can't live off that. Yeah. You know, that was really, really hard. Fast forward to 2020, the world basically came to a pause, a giant stillness, and I lost 3/4 of my clientele.
Oh.
And it was so, yes, the risks suck, but you work through them, you know? And if you're really, you know, if you're lucky enough to have resources, and for me, I have an incredibly supportive partner. We've been together 19 years, and he never once told me I had to go back to a 9-to-5. He 1000% has believed in me, and I do credit part of my success to him.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people have that. And sometimes you are just in the circumstances, man, but manifest. Think about, what life do you want to live? What would be your dream life? And just really visualize it, man. You don't have to have the answers on how you're going to get there, but if you can just envision it every day. I would think about mine, like, seriously, in the morning when I'm washing my hair in the shower, I just would visualize it. And I had no idea how it was going to come about, but it did. It did. And when the opportunity came, I seized it. And I seized it with a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, but zero regret.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, because a lot of people that I've talked to, they kind of say the same thing. It's so weird, because they're like, I wouldn't suggest just, you know, dropping everything unless you have some sort of a plan. Like, and these people didn't really have a plan, but they don't regret it either. So I'm like, so
no,
I'm still taking a chance.
I had no savings. I have massive credit card debt. This has not been a pretty journey. Maybe from the outside, because my social media is put together and shit, you think it's nice. No, it is not. Yesterday, I ate a block of cheese. I didn't even cut the block of cheese. Like, that's not pretty. And
hey, sometimes you just need a block of cheese.
My point being that, like, do it messy, man. Do it messy. Do it without knowing all the things. Figure it out as you go. Like, if you really want to do it, you'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think I couldn't have said it better. Okay, so now that you are living in a space versus a tiny home RV living area, how does it feel, you know, based off the difference? You know, obviously it was probably a huge adjustment, considering that you've been living the RV life for 5 years now, and just recently now you have four walls, and it's just, I mean, I'm sure it changed things as far as like your perspective and how you do your day to day. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. I cried a lot when we first, because we lived in the camper for almost 5 years. And I don't know if you're familiar with a thunder shirt for dogs. It's basically a super tight shirt that dogs can wear that kind of feels like a hug, and it like helps prevent their anxiety.
I
applied that to my camper lifestyle. It was, we lived in 23 feet for almost 5 years, and it just felt very cozy and comfortable. And when the camper had a really severe repair that was needed, a very expensive repair, it just felt like a gut punch. It felt like I was a failure. It felt, because I even named my company Happy Camper KC, which that's the name of my wood burning business. And I was like, I'm going to have to change my name. I don't live in a camper anymore. And I felt a lot of shame and a lot of guilt and sadness. I had a really, probably a 3 month bout of depression the end of 2022. And even through that though, I was still posting to social media. I was still making my custom orders for Christmas, and it was very, very hard. We moved into the home rental in October 2022. So those last 3 months were just, the transition was wild. We came in with nothing. We had a mattress on the floor because you don't need furniture in an RV, you know? And so we just had two senior dogs and a mattress and a pizza from Casey's General Store. That's all we had. Like the gas station. And, so we've been buying more furniture. I think lessons I've learned from living in a tiny home for half a decade, I've learned to appreciate what I own. I've basically transitioned my minimalistic lifestyle into the new lifestyle of being back in a home. I'm not bringing in junk. I'm bringing in things into my home that bring me joy and have a purpose, and a lot of times have multiple purposes. And so that's been the biggest takeaway from that lifestyle, is I just don't want to have junk. I want things to serve me and serve my happiness.
Yeah. I have always been a tiny home RV enthusiast, whether I live one in or not. I've just always been gravitating towards videos and photos and video, documentaries of just tiny home living and the way that it just fulfills these people in a different way. And you are allowed, like, even though it's condensed space, you almost have more space because you're not worried about a couch, an extra couch in the living room that you don't ever use, or, you know, just to fill the space. It's quite interesting of a life that I am so looking forward to being a part of here soon. But I just find it very interesting to go from either apartment or house living to tiny home, or vice versa, you know. And it's good that you brought that mindset with you, because, you know, you don't have to fill the space from corner to corner with everything that you need. Really just focus on the things that are, that you need and that you use and that will fulfill you, versus it just sitting there on a, and I think I even have some stuff in my closet that I'm like, I'm still coming to terms with getting rid of, before I make the jump. And, it's hard because you're like, oh, I'll use it. I need it. And you're like, a year later, you're like, I still have not used this. I still have it.
Yeah. Different meanings of need. And you have to define that for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And also there's different definitions of space. You have physical space that you're filling, but a lot of those things are also filling an emotional space. And that in and of itself is a journey. So I'm really happy I have that mindset with me still. Big picture, we do want to live a minimalistic lifestyle and get back into a tiny home. I'd love to buy a tiny home and buy a beautiful piece of land and maybe have a couple of tiny homes on the land, and one's my art studio and one's the home, you know. That'd be fantastic. But I highly recommend at least once in your life downsizing. I mean, we lived in the 23 feet for 5 years. But the home we're in now, the rental home, it's still only like 800 square feet. It's not a huge home.
Right, right.
But it feels massive. I did a cartwheel. I tried to do a cartwheel.
To be fair, I can't do a cartwheel either, so.
But yeah, it's hard to let go of a lot of things. But we still, like, get a storage unit and keep all your sentimentals. You don't got to get rid of that stuff. Oh, again, okay. That holds value in an emotional way. Yeah. So, but not everything you own does. And if you're having a hard time with that, there's other things you probably need to psychologically evaluate.
Oh, absolutely. I think every time I move, which is pretty frequently being an apartment liver, mm-hmm. like I've lived in apartments pretty much all my life, even when I was young. And so I'm used to the small space, but I'm also used to not having a lot to have. So I'm kind of beneficial in that way. But also, like, every time I move, I try to get rid of stuff that I didn't use, you know, like, it's just like, dude, did I really need this? No, I didn't use it all year. Like, let's just new beginnings, you know, start fresh.
I love purge.
Yeah. Purging. Purge. That's a good word. Yeah.
I love a good purge. I mean, not a murdery purge, but like, yeah, you know, yeah. A positive purge. Just get rid of all the junk, man. You're going to feel so much lighter.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to feel so much more space. You'll be able to breathe. You'll feel so good. That fresh start, that clean slate is empowering.
Yeah. And I think that's why I'm so excited for the RV living, is because, like you said, there's no furniture. There's no extra stuff. So you have to really think hard of what you need, because otherwise there's not really any room for just stuff. You know, you don't have room for it.
I had 3 closets of clothes and over 60 pairs of shoes before we moved into the camper. That was my status. I was like, I got to get rid of all my clothes. I love my clothes. I love vintage clothes, you know? And my closet ended up being like a 12 inch opening, 12 by maybe like 36. And my husband straight up laughed at it. He's like, that's your closet? And I was like, yeah, I guess that's all I got.
Wow. What an adjustment, for sure.
It was wild.
Yeah. You said that you two talked about it, but like, how did you guys actually come to the final choice of moving into the RV and then moving out? Like, I know that having a partner, and especially for that amount of time, you know each other well enough, but I mean, that is still a hard decision for two people to make. I mean, that's a whole life change. And so I guess, was there just multiple conversations about it, or it was just like, yeah, let's do this, and there was real no thought into it?
There was an adjustment period. Yeah. We do have a very great relationship. My husband and I are very good communicators. Okay. So when the opportunity came up, and it came up suddenly, the home we were renting at the time, the landlords were like, we need you out in 30 days because we're selling the home, which is a very short notice.
Yeah.
We just were tired of renting, and we had already kind of daydreamed about a camper, and we never were able to travel before that, just monetarily speaking. And I'm like, well, living in a camper forces us to travel. It makes it a part of our life. And we talked a lot about, when you rent a home, especially if you have large breed dogs over a certain weight, bully breed dogs like we have, you're always paying for pet deposits, and you have to find a place within like the breed restrictions. If you have a pit bull ban or something, like, that's a pain in the ass to do. You're usually paying more money. And I'm like, well, I don't want to pay that money. And also, we don't have a lot of money, 'cause you just got laid off. Like, So we talked a lot about that, and we just talked about like why not just do it. And, we're young. We don't have kids. I'm working remotely, and he had taken a job at Amazon just as a flex driver, delivering Amazon packages from his app. You can be an independent contractor. So we're like, why not? Let's just do it. So we did it. And, those first few weeks living in the camper was a hell of an adjustment. We bumped into each other a lot. It's only 23 feet. You maybe only have like 5.5 feet of space left to right. Yeah. And, but we really focused on being kind and understanding and patient. and we constantly adjusted our workflows, our days. My husband, God bless him, he's an Eagle Scout, but he's also like obsessed with organization and efficiency. So he took care of all that. I'm the mess maker. You know, I make the messes. But he was constantly working on like making things better for us and make sense for us. So I credit a lot of that to him, but we worked really well together as a team. Nice. And so we lived in it for almost 5 years. And then when we made the transition out of it, he really spearheaded that transition, bringing everything into the house, helping set up new systems in our home rental. I mean, this room that I'm in right now is my studio office. So I work my 9 to 5 and then I go across the room and that's my art studio. And he helps set all that up. So I think you could totally do it on your own. You don't have to have a partner. We've known a lot of people on the road who did not have supportive partners and their experience was a nightmare because they didn't communicate, because they didn't come at it from a loving place, a place of understanding, a place of mutual respect. And so don't go into this with a partner that you don't have that with. If your relationship's on the rocks, this is not going to fix it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause then you're condensed into even less space, forced to communicate. And if you're not a good communicator, well, that's not going to go over very well. Yeah. But as far as the space now, I mean, I'm sure you guys have so much more space that you're not used to, of course, but like, as far as spending time together, did that change? Cause I mean, when you're in a camper, I mean, you're kind of around each other all the time. And now you're like, oh my God, I have my own office. Like,
I love having my own studio office. However, even when we were on the road, he was work camping. So his job was just, you know, he could walk to the office at the campground. He was working on site most of the time. And, he's just always around. He's in the kitchen right now doing dishes. And, I don't know. I love being around him. He's my best friend. Yeah. It's not, I mean, there's never really been a time where he has had jobs where he has his own 9 to 5 and leaves the house, but I much prefer him around.
Yeah.
I'm quite lucky that I haven't gotten sick of him. Like I said, we just we celebrated 19 years together this weekend. Now we're working our way towards 20. He was my first boyfriend, my only boyfriend, and now we got married a long time ago, and I'm just very lucky.
Yeah, that's really exciting to hear, because it's just a matter of finding that best friend to share your life with. And so, so you said
there's a lot of gross stuff involved in it too. So, I mean, you got the black tank, number twos, the poos. I mean, he deals with all that. I don't do that. Anyway, go on.
So you said that you just celebrated your 19 years together. How long have you been married, if you don't mind me asking?
Man, I always should know this. I do not remember. I don't remember our anniversary for our wedding. I want to say I should know this. He would know
this. Did I put you on the spot just now?
We got married on like Labor Day. It was like end of August, because we got married at the courthouse. We didn't do nothing fancy.
Yeah.
Had a ceremony just at like a park by our house.
Nice.
So I think it was 2012 when we got married, but we got together when I was 15 years old. Gosh, wild.
Yeah, it is wild. It's wild to think that, I don't know, I guess it just kind of depends on the person and of course the couple, you know, but it's fantastic to hear that you guys have grown together and as a unit versus separately, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be the same person you were at 15. That girl was she overplucked her eyebrows.
I used to get my eyebrows waxed, and back when I was younger, I didn't understand like the concept at all. I was just like, yeah, it's getting hairy up there. I need to like clean it up. But when I went, they would make it super thin, and so it would look like I drew it on. I was like, no, those are mine.
So good in all aspects of your life to evolve. To grow together. Yeah. And maybe some people might say mature. I don't like using the word mature because I still feel childish in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I feel selfish.
We all have our kid, inner kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I've listened to my inner kid for a long time, and it steered me in the right direction. I feel like she's my gut. She's my Gemini cricket, and it won't do you wrong.
That's good. I think that everybody should keep their inner kid a little bit. You know, I mean, obviously we all have responsibilities and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
I mean, what is life without a little bit of fun and joking around and, you know, childish thoughts sometimes, you know? Not everything has to be so serious.
It's totally worth it. Invest in yourself. Bet on yourself, man.
Absolutely. Okay, so I wanted to end with a kind of an overall goal. This year, do you have any kind of set goals or like a mission or anything that you have in mind for this year? Because not to talk about the resolution, but, you know, I know that, you know, since things have adjusted since you moved into the apartment, you know, has anything changed as far as like goals for the business, goals for the apartment, goals for, you know, whatever else going on this year for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think my goals have included really making more money. And I know that seems really superficial to some people, but it's important. You got to pay bills. So at the beginning of the year, I implemented a whole new price structure. The new price structure for me was about self-worth, and I gave myself a significant raise. I added another $100 to my custom order pricing, which for me is huge. I've always had a really hard time pricing my art. So my art now, my custom art is now priced more within a realistic level of, okay, I'm finally covering the cost of my wood. I'm covering the cost of my materials, my time, and all these years I've spent honing this craft. I'm starting to feel validated via my new price structure. So I implemented that in January, and in 2022, I was able to book out 3 months of custom art, and I'm hoping to maintain that throughout 2023 and hopefully, fingers crossed, increase it to being booked out for 6 months. So I'd like to have all of my orders by like mid summer. I'd like to be booked out through my Christmas so I can really plan my Christmas, because a lot of artists, you probably are familiar, this Christmas time is stressful. Like that's our busiest time of year is usually Christmas time. So I'd like to go ahead and have all of that planned and be able to structure my holiday season to be successful, but relaxing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That sounds really good. And that's exciting that you came up with the price range and figuring out what it's worth and stuff like that, because I think that's one of the hardest things for artists is figuring out like what it's worth, you know, your time, your supplies, and everything else that goes along with it. I mean, I've always kind of struggled with that because I'm like, you know, I just want someone to really enjoy my art. And then I'm like, no, that's not realistic. Like, I still have bills to pay.
I got a lot of emotions. I grew up really poor, and my dad worked multiple jobs. You know, my mom, she worked for as long as she could as a nurse, and then she wasn't able to work. And then my mom passed away when I was 14. So it was a real big struggle. And I realized, even though I can't afford my own art, there's a lot of people in this world who got a lot more money than me. You know, it's not about what you can afford. It's about what your target customer can afford.
Yeah.
And once I started thinking in that mindset, I mean, it just completely changed everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because I can't remember who I was talking with. This was a couple months back now, but I was always so worried about the people that I was showing my artwork to not being able to afford it. And then someone told me, they're like, well, then they're not your target audience, because, right, you know, there's going to be people willing to spend the money if they know that you're, that you value your work and you value your stuff. And if you think it's worth that much and you're confident to say it's worth that much, then someone's going to spend that much money because they believe it too, you know?
Hell yeah. They see the value. And I think a lot of artists follow other artists. So I have a good chunk of my following that are wood burning artists, and that's great. I love that community. I love them, but I shifted my strategy to engage with more people that were local to me and in certain hashtags where I know they're affluent, you know, and I started really working on those because I knew my art people were going to stay there. They started with me. We love each other. They got my back and I love them, but I really needed to be engaging with people who have padded wallets and see the value in art. And, you know, it's worked out for me. So yeah. I never run a single social media ad, and yet all of my business comes from social media.
Well, that's awesome. As far as like your website and stuff like that, how frequently are you updating that? And is that like a goal for this year?
That's a good question. I did have an Etsy page. I loathe Etsy. I don't really have the page going anymore. So I shifted to doing custom art. That worked well for me because I wanted to do pet portraits. And I created my website on Canva. I don't know if you're familiar with Canva.
I am. I actually didn't know they did websites, though. I know that most of the time you can do, like, you create posts and stuff from Canva as far as a graphic design or, like, a friendly user for graphic design and stuff like that.
Yeah. All of the work as director of design I do through Canva. Their 2022 rollout, they are beta testing websites. So I created a website on Canva. And I do not have an official domain. I'm not paying for a domain. I just have like the free Canva website. And it's basically, I just designed a landing page that funnels into a Google form that people can fill out to request their custom pet portrait. So I am all about keeping your overhead extremely low. I don't pay for a website. I don't do none of that. I think the only thing I pay per month to operate my creative business, I pay $13 a month for Canva Pro. And that's it.
That's awesome. So as far as like the pieces that are not pet portraits are, well, I've noticed that there are some pieces that are awesome and they are figures of women. And like, those are more personal, I think, to you as far as like you creating them just as, you know, your enjoyment, not for someone for a commission. How do people go about purchasing those items, and are you planning on doing more of those for this year?
I'm so glad you brought that up. The female art is a passion of mine. I really value body positivity and body neutrality. And part of that passion project culminated into a collaboration. I'm a big believer in community over competition. So I've teamed up with a local boudoir photographer who also values body positivity and neutrality. And she's amazing. Her name's Michaela. She runs a company called Womankind Photography. And basically we collaborated on this special project called Body Like Art, where a customer pays for a photo shoot with her, an empowerment photo shoot, and they choose their favorite photo from the shoot. And it comes to me and I make art out of it, with the idea being we want the person to feel that they can appreciate their body as if it is art, as if it is fine art in a museum. So it's a wonderful collaboration, and it's a wonderful way for me to funnel and create some other art. So I do that with her, but I also create original pieces. So I, of course, still share the original pieces on social media across my platforms. But in order to sell that, if someone wants to buy it off social media, I always put it out there. I'm like, direct message me. We'll just Venmo back and forth and I'll ship it to you. Like that's the first step. If it doesn't sell after I post it on social, thankfully a lot of my art, once I post it, if it's original, someone wants to buy it and I don't have to do anything after that. If that doesn't happen, I have a collection of my original pieces and I collaborate with other small businesses here local to me in Kansas City. So I say, hey, can I show my art at your hair salon for the next 6 weeks? You could take a cut of it if you want to. And I have been so lucky that these small businesses, they're willing to show my art. They don't take a cut. I can sell my art at their place for free. All I do is just promote them on social media. Like I put it up in their space. I'm like, hey, my art is being shown at, you know, ABC Hair Salon. And I tag them and I try to get them exposure. And it's usually a collaboration that makes sense. So, if, you know, a lot of my, I have like plus size girls, so I'll show my art like a plus size, boutique, clothing boutique, right. Stuff that makes sense for my brand, or like a coffee shop that supports local artists. I'll go to a coffee shop and be like, hey, do you have any openings for me to show 3 or 4 of my original pieces? And then it's my responsibility to make sure, like if someone wants it, all my contact info is there at the place. They can message me on Insta. They can email me and they're like, I want to buy this. And I do it all virtually. They just pick it up. I don't have to ship it. So again, smarter, not harder. I do not have the knowledge to have my own like Shopify website or I don't do all that. I sell on social media directly or I sell via collaborations at local businesses.
That's awesome. That's actually really clever because then it's less time consuming because you're spending more time doing art than actually worrying about all this other stuff that really doesn't matter. It's just like at the end of the day, I mean,
it sells for you. It's just sitting in that space. Their customers are coming in, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
You don't even have to be there. They're just like, okay, I'm going to buy it. I showed my art. I had like 5 pieces at a new vegan restaurant in Kansas City.
Nice.
And they just had a rotation of artists every month. And I sold several pieces that way.
Are you vegan?
No. I am not vegan.
Okay. I was just curious because year and a half, I'm not officially 100% vegan. As far as like my body has adjusted to different diets over the years, and it's a little bit harder for me to have meat and cheeses. So I would consider myself kind of like a pescatarian with dairy free because I still like fish and stuff like that. But every now and again, I still crave like meat and I'm like, oh, I know the consequences. It's not that I can't have it. I just know that my stomach's not going to be very happy with me at the end of it. So I started doing more vegan vegetarian meals at home and stuff like that. And, it's just funny because you brought up the vegan restaurant. I was like, interesting. Well,
I think, it was just a good fit brand wise because they're more bohemian, more relaxed. Yeah. They're a very colorful place. I like vegan restaurants because I have a really severe fish and shellfish allergy. So I tend to eat at vegan restaurants just because I know they don't have fish and shellfish. I know it's all safe for me to eat. But no, I'm very much a carnivore. I love barbecue. You can't live in Kansas City and not love barbecue.
Barbecue is really good. So the brisket and it's just, yeah. There's sometimes like I'll be smelling like a grill or a barbecue or something happening, especially during the summer times and like 4th of July. It's rough. I'm like, that smells really good.
But it wasn't a preference thing. It was just a brand thing for me.
Gotcha. Well, that's awesome. Okay. So if anybody wants to check her art out, really Instagram sounds like the place to go, or any of the local shops in Kansas if you are ever in Kansas.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get into some more shops. But right now the hub for if you want to see my art and what I do is my hub is Instagram, but I also post on Facebook and TikTok, and it's all under Happy Camper KC. Happy with an I.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll put this all in the captions so you all can click around and check it out. And of course, we'll tag her in any content that we post on Instagram too, so you can click around and say hi to her. Nice. All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. I wanted to end with if there's any message that you want to kind of express to our audience, if there's anything that you either we kind of missed over the interview that you kind of wanted to talk about, or just an overall general message that you want to share to the world.
No pressure, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No pressure. Just whatever comes from the heart, whatever you're feeling.
I think I would like your listeners to know, yes, this is scary. It is scary to sell your art and to put yourself out there and to wear your heart on your sleeve, but please know it is worth it. There is no one in the world that is you. Even if there's someone in your industry that is doing exactly what you want to do, you do it anyway, because not only is no one you, but there is enough business for everyone. Believe me. So bet on yourself, man. Go for it.
I definitely agree with her. You heard it from Megan. Go out and follow your dreams, do what makes you happy, and let's do it. And I think the part that we always try to kind of express is that we're in this together as a community and do it together versus against each other. There's no sense fighting against each other and who's better than the other person. We're all trying to figure this out, man. Like,
just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And why not figure it out together, help each other out versus against each other?
I totally agree. And I'm so grateful that you're allowing me to even talk about this on this platform and inviting me on your podcast. I very much appreciate it.
I thank you so much, Megan. I mean, I'm trying not to get all emotional because...
Don't cry.
Most people don't know, but like Megan's been one of my inspirations for a hot minute. And it's just been really surreal a little bit today that I got to talk to her for a good 2 hours. So it felt really good. It's really nice. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. No, I'm going
to cry. I'm like, see, this is why I don't have the camera on, because I'm like, you can't stare at me. I'll start crying.
Thank you for sharing that.
Though. It's a happy cry. I just feel full in my heart right now.
It's really important. We got to stick together, man.
We do. All right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Wanted to quickly just revamp right over that question. We kind of talked about it a little bit here at the end, but I just want to make sure that everybody knows where they can reach you, any questions, any artwork.
Sure, you can find my custom wood burning artwork on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. My handle is at Happy Camper KC. That's HAPPI. CAMPERKC. And the KC stands for Kansas City. So shout out to the Chiefs for winning the Super Bowl. We're all very excited.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. That's awesome. So like I said, everybody, all of this information is going to be in the captions. So feel free to check her out. Go and look at her art. Support local artists. Whether you're in Kansas or not, go support her and show the love and like all her videos, everything.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And so, of course, if you have any questions for us too, whatever you need to do, you know how to get a hold of us. You can follow us on Instagram, email us at team@theteacircle.life, or you can follow us at theteacircle.life. All of that's there. However, we do have a link tree, which accesses all of that information, which is linktr.ee/theteacircle. That's where all of our information is, where you can access our podcast, Patreon, and you can leave a voice message, which we always like to encourage because we like to hear from you. So now, Megan, all of our interviews, we leave one critical, most important question of them all. If you were to have tea with anybody alive or dead, and who would it be and why? Or I guess in this case, coffee, because you were drinking coffee today.
I'm a coffee drinker. I'm going to say I would like to have tea or coffee with Tina Fey. I love Tina Fey. I love female comedians, but I specifically love Tina Fey because not only is she funny, but she has gone after her dream. She's an award-winning writer. She is incredibly talented in a multitude of ways. I just have a great respect for her. And I have a great respect for a lot of female comedians. I low-key would love to be a comedian. That's a pipe dream. That's never going to happen. But I would love to do that. I love her. I love Amy Poehler. You know, and I also thought it'd be cool to have coffee with, you know, artists. Like, it'd be cool to have coffee with Bob Ross. It'd be cool to have coffee with Vincent Van Gogh, you know, for the creative reasons. But for sure, I think coffee with Tina Fey would be just the bee's knees.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think you would talk about? Would you just kind of pick her brain, or would there be something that you would want to know more about her, or how do you think that you'd start the conversation?
I would probably start it with a lot of crying and just being like hyperventilating, like, oh, I love you so much. I would love to pick her brain on how she is so multidimensional. She is the definition of a Renaissance woman, not unlike Dolly Parton, you know, who is entrepreneurial, but also creatively driven. I find so much inspiration in that. And wondering, where does your inspiration come from? You know, how are you able to face all of these challenges as a woman in the comedy world? And I think, you know, there's a lot of industries out there where it's hard for women. It's hard for a lot of people, but women, we have a tough time. We got a lot more judgment, a lot more eyes on us, but she's done it with such grace and clarity. And I just look up to it so much. So I would just ask her about that.
Absolutely. I think that would be a great conversation to be a part of. All right, Tina Fey, if you've heard it here, Megan wants to have tea with you. So let's
have this.
Shout out to Tina Fey. We love you. If you want to have tea or coffee with us, let us know. That would be awesome. That would definitely be a really fun time, I think. I think it would be less seriousness, but like, I feel like she could just make you laugh without being in front of a stage. You know what I mean? Right. She could just be this heartwarming person that just gets you to laugh.
Great, man.
Okay, well, Megan, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the Patreon exclusive content. Now, for those of you that don't know, we do have a Patreon and we love your support and appreciate you all for it. We're going to jump right into those questions. So if you want to hear these bonus questions, you kind of have to jump over to there because these questions aren't posted anywhere else, not even on Instagram. But Megan, I just want to end it off with thank you so much for being on this main interview. We appreciate you being on here and really just taking the time to chit chat with me. And it just means a lot. And I can't wait to have an interview here in like a year and see how you're doing and where you're at.
That would be great. I'm so proud of the work you guys are doing here at this podcast. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. All right, everybody. We'll catch you later. Well, there you guys have it.
And I'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you. This was so much fun.
So again, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Great. I'm so proud of the work you guys are doing here at this podcast. Thanks for having me on.